Today's shiur is Masechta Tanis Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Amar Yehuda Amar Bechiya. Hamhalach Bederech. If somebody's traveling in the road, Ayoichel Yos Mishnei Ravin. He should limit his consumption to the amount of food he eats during a hunger year. My Tama, why? Says the Gemara Hocha to Gima. Here in Bavel they explained, Meshum Ayona. It's difficult for the stomach when someone is traveling and he eats a lot. So that's why Chazal teaches he should limit his consumption to avoid stomach problems. But Marava Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, Meshum Bezoinei. Because we're concerned that while he's on the road, he may not find somewhere to buy food. So he should eat less food, and he'll know he has enough food for the duration of his trip. Ask the Gemara Maivinai, what's the practical difference between these two explanations? Says the Gemara, Ikvanayu Yosef Ba'arba. If he's traveling on a boat, if the concern is that he may run out of food, so that concern certainly exists when he's traveling on a boat also. If, however, the concern is because of a stomach ailment, that doesn't exist on a boat where he's sitting in one place, he's not walking. Inami, another difference, the ka'azul mi avna la'avna. He's traveling from one place to another place in the same town. Here, it's just the opposite. Since he's remaining in town, so in town there's food, so he won't run out of food. But if the concern is that travel affects the stomach, so that doesn't make a difference if he's traveling within the city or somewhere else, he should limit what he's eating. And like Mefarshim explained, what was wrong with the first Nafkamina? Because the first Nafkamina assumed that when you're traveling in a boat, it can't affect your stomach. So Gemara says, perhaps even if you're sitting on a boat, it's not easy for the stomach when you eat a lot. So that's why the Gemara looked for another Nafkamina, which is certainly a good Nafkamina. When you're traveling in town, there's no problem with a shortage of food, but there is an issue how it will affect your digestion. Rapapa ka parso, ochel chode rifta. And every parso of his trip, he ate a loaf of bread. Kasavar, because he holds, mishumayon. So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. Rapapa, as the Gemara says in many places in Shas, was a heavy person. So since he was a heavy person, so he could withstand the rigors of travel. And that's what the Gemara says. Since he holds the whole problem, well, you're not allowed to eat when you're traveling, because it may adversely affect you, he has nothing to worry about because his stomach could withstand that rigor. I saw a very nice pshat from the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai explains that the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, the Rav Papa and Rav Huna were once eating a meal together. And for every one loaf of bread that Rav Huna ate, Rav Papa ate four loaves. So he says, that's what the Gemara says. Even though normally Rav Papa ate four loaves, here he only ate one loaf, which was less than he normally would eat, which will answer another Shaila. Because the Gemara says that a person is supposed to eat less when he's traveling. But the Gemara doesn't say how much is less. He's supposed to eat less, but what's less? So he says you're supposed to eat a quarter. What's the lashon? Rav is the same letters as Reva. Resh Vez Ayin. When you're traveling, you should eat Reva, a quarter of what you normally ate. And that's exactly what Rav Papa did. He ate a quarter of his normal meal. He only ate one loaf instead of four loaves. Ari Yudam Rav. Kol Marav Atzma Mishnei Ra'avid. Whoever stays hungry, even though he actually has enough to eat, but because there isn't enough for everyone else, he also doesn't eat too much. Nitzel Mamis Mishuna will be saved from a difficult death. Shnema, as the pasuk says in Iyov, Barav Potcha Mimavis. In time of hunger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves you from death. Ask the Gemara, if the pasuk is trying to teach us that in times of famine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from the hunger, the pasuk should have said, Merav Mibayle, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the time of hunger saves you from hunger. What's Mavis? Alachkam. This is what the pasuk needs to say. Because a person doesn't eat too much in a hunger year, nitzel misa mishuna, that's how we save from a misa mishuna. And the Mefarshim, the Yaakov explains. Here, this person overcame his teva. The teva is, the nature is, that if you have what to eat, you eat it. this person overcame his nature. And because he overcame his nature, he will be zoicha not today a misa mishuna, which is also shloike derech hateva. Rabbi Aaron Kotlin, the Mishnah of Baharan, has a different pshat. This person doesn't want to cause a chilul Hashem. It's a chilul Hashem that everybody's hungry and that he's eating. So somebody who doesn't do a chilul Hashem, that's a way of preventing from having a misa mishuna. A person is not allowed to have relations with his wife during the hungry years. Shnema, well, Yosef yulat shnei bonim. Yosef had two children, before the hungry years came. Once the hungry year came, he stopped having relations and being able to have children. Tana, we learned in a brisa, chasuchei bonim. However, somebody who has no children, misham shemitosei mishnei ra'avin. They may have relations during hunger years. The Ritva has a different pshat to chasuchei bonim. He says like this, chasuchei bonim, if you see someone who has children who are chasuchim, that are not the way it should be, you know why people have such children? Because misham shemitosei mishnei ravin. They had relations during the hunger year. When they weren't supposed to, that's the punishment that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings them. As Tosfos, we all know that Rashi says that Yocheved, the mother of Moshe, was born Ben Achaimus. As Klal Yisrael were arriving to Mitzrayim, which was during the hunger years, that's when she was born. So as Tosfos, the Gemara here says you're not supposed to have relations during that time. So Tosfos answers that our Gemara is only a Midas Chassidus. It's not something that the Halacha requires. And Levi didn't follow this Midas Chassidus, and that's why Yocheved was born, and Yosef did. The Sfas finds this teretz difficult. He says, Levi didn't follow what the Gemara says, and the Gemara doesn't use the word chassidus. The Gemara says osur. So that's what the Sfas Emes says, that pshat and Tosfos is, that until Matan Torah, it was only Midas chassidus. Yosef followed the Midas chassidus, Levi didn't. But once Matan Torah, once we had Matan Torah, it became a din that you're not allowed to have relations during the hunger year. Another pshat, there are many pshatim I saw to this question. Another pshat, the Torah Tumima says, very interesting pshat. He says, Levi was suffering from hunger. A person who's already suffering from hunger doesn't have to curtail having relations. He already has the tzaris. Yosef, who wasn't afflicted by the hunger, he was the Mishnah Melech, so he had to show that he's part of the tzibur. How did he show he's part of the tzibur? By not having relations. Another pshat that I saw, and it's relevant to Halach L'mayis Shaila. The Gemara says that somebody who doesn't have children can have relations. What does that mean that somebody doesn't have children? So some of Farshim say, that means we know to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Purur Rivya, you have to have a son and a daughter. And the Gemara means if somebody doesn't have a son and a daughter, even if it's in those years, he's allowed to have relations. Levi did not have a daughter. That's why Levi was had to have relations. Yosef had a daughter. What's the raya that Yosef had a daughter? Gevalda Garaya. Because it says that the Shvatim challenged Yosef and said, why did you ask us about our family? Bitcha, are we interested in your daughter to be our daughter-in-law? So it's a raya that Yosef already had a daughter-in-law. Had a daughter. So that's why Yosef, who had already had a son and a daughter, wasn't allowed to have relations. Levi, who didn't have a daughter, and this was only his first daughter born, Yocheved, was allowed to have relations. But there are many Paiskim that disagree and say that even if one only has a child, a son or a daughter, even though to Mekayim Mitzvah Purim Rivya, you have to have a boy and a girl, you're not allowed to have relations. And they have a very nice raya. The raya is that the halacha is that if someone is married for 10 years and they didn't have children, they're supposed to get divorced. But the halacha is that if they had one child, then that din doesn't apply. So here too, as soon as they have one child, that din, that you'll have relations during the hunger years, doesn't apply. Another teretz, also negei lehalacha, is that the Shulchan Aruch says that even though our Gemara says that during a hunger year you're not allowed to have relations, Leil Tefillah, the night that the wife goes to the mikveh, you're allowed to have relations. So there's a very big machloikis, Magen Avraham and Prima Godim, what does that mean? Magen Avraham explains that the Shulchan Aruch is being machmer. That the Shulchan Aruch is saying that even if you have, even though you don't have children, and we're allowing you to have relations, we're only allowing that to happen on Leil Tefillah. So the Shulchan Aruch is actually being machmer. Prima Gadim says no, the Gemara is being, the Shulchan Aruch is being makel. That even though we're saying somebody who has children is not allowed to have relations, that's only on a regular night, but in Leil Tefillah, everyone is allowed to have relations. So according to the Prima Gadim, we have an answer. Levi had relations on the Leil Tefillah, which is mutter even b'shnei ravim. Another pshat that I saw is that Yosef knew for sure that this was a hunger. How? Because he was the interpreter of the dream. So since Yosef knew for sure it's a hunger, that's why he wasn't allowed to have relations. Levi didn't have any clear confirmation that this was a hunger, so that's why he was allowed to have relations. Another teretz is that we know that Yaakov Avinu told his children, Lama Tisro. That means Yaakov Avinu, they really had food. The only reason he told them to go to Mitzrayim was that he didn't want that everybody should be jealous that they have food, that the Bnei Yaakov have food and everyone else isn't. So for the Bnei Yaakov, it wasn't a hungry year. They really had enough food. So that's why they could have relations, Levi could have relations. Yosef, who lived in Mitzrayim, could not. Another teretz that I saw, and we'll end with this teretz. There are more teretz, but one more teretz, is that Yosef knew that there was a hunger, but he knew that the hunger is going to come to an end. That was part of the dream. So since Yosef knew that the hunger is coming to an end, that's why Yosef said, during this time I won't have relations, and afterwards we'll go back to normal. Levi didn't know if this hunger will end. He had no knowledge of this hunger ever ending. So to live a life that the rest of his life he can't have relations, he has no indication that it's ever going to end. That's why he... Oh, so that means according to this teretz, it's only when something you see where the end is in sight, that's when you're not allowed to have the relations. The Mefarshim also asked, the Pasuk says that when Yitzchak was in Gror, Bavimelech, and he went to Gror because it was a hunger, he was having relations with his wife. What are we going to do without Gemara? So again, some say he didn't have any children. So he didn't have any children, he's allowed to have relations. Others say, in Gror, there was food. Only in the place where there's a hunger are you not allowed to have relations. He went to Gror because in Gror there was food. That's why he's allowed to have relations. One more point the Mefarshim make from this Gemara. There's a issue that's discussed by the Paiskim. If one could learn something from the Torah from before Kabbalah Satorah. Here we're learning a din about having relations from when Yosef was in Mitzrayim, which is before Matan Torah. So some say that it's only in a smachta ba'alma. It's not really a full-fledged limud. Others suggest, a very nice mahalach, they suggest that if something makes sense, it's just very logical, even though the Torah mentions it before Kabbalah Satorah, it's obviously the way to do it. That someone shouldn't have relations while the world is in hunger, as the Mefarshim explained. The rest of the world is bitzar, and you should do something of enjoyment. Or to say, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is destroying the world, and you should do something that creates a world, that makes a lot of sense. So even though the Pasuk and the Torah is before Matan Torah, we could learn from it. Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Bezman Yisrael Shurim Bitzar. When Klal Yisrael is Bitzar, or Pirish Ech Mehen, and one of the people from Klal Yisrael separate himself from the Tzibur, Boin Shnei Malacha Yishar Shem Lavim Al Adam, the two Malachim, as Rashi says, the Pasuk says, Ki Malachov, every person has two malachim that escort him. These two malachim come, they put their hands on his head. He separated from the tzibur. He should not be worthy to see as the tzibur is consoled. However, says the Magen Avraham, when is this halacha applicable? When his remaining together with the tzibur, he could help. But if somebody remaining with the tzibur, when they're bitzar, he can't contribute anything, he can't help, and if he'll leave, he'll be able at least to save himself, says the Magen Avraham, he may. Tanya Idach. We learned another b'risa. B'zman she'tzibur shor bitzar. When the Klal Yisrael is bitzar, a person shouldn't say, Eilch lebeisi, I'll go home, v'oichel, v'eshtin, I'll eat and drink, v'sham alech and nafshi, and I'll be fine. And as the Ben Ishchai explains, what happens when Klal Yisrael is in a tainus? Says we're going to be learning the Gemara's, two things happen. First of all, they remain in the base of Knesset. We're going to learn about a Beit HaNisa, where they do tshuva, and then that's after davening, and then they go home and don't eat. This person, first of all, elech lebeisi, he doesn't remain in shul to do tshuva, and furthermore, he goes home, and instead of fasting, he eats and drink. But if a person does act this way, all of a kasuv oimer, regarding him, the pasuk says, v'inis sasim v'simcha, he's happy, haroi boker v'shachay tzayin, slaughtering animals, echa bas v'shachay tzayin, eating meat, drinking wine, echa v'shachay, he eats and drinks, k'machanam, and his attitude is, I'm going to die anyway. Max sibasrei, what does the pasuk continue to say? V'nigla v'ozne Hashem tzavakayitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims, im yichupa oven azalachem ad temusun. You will not be forgiven. Says the Gemara, ad kam midas beinanim. Says the Gemara, this is not yet Rishon. Because these people have not been affected by the tzoros that much yet. So even though they're wrong, and they're not thinking about the tomorrow, it's not so bad. Av midas Rishon ksif. What did the pasuk say about Rishon? Es yu echa yayin. I'm going to drink wine, v'nissa v'sheka, I'll drink beer. V'ay kezeg yoy mocher. And today, tomorrow, I don't care. Maxibas, right? The pasuk says, Hatzadik Ovid, the tzadik passes away, the ain't isam alev, and nobody pays attention, kibnei rov, nas v'tzadik. Because of the tzoris, the tzadik passed away. Explain the mefarshim. Explain Rashi. Why does the tzadik pass away? Number one, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to see the tzoris. Or another pshat is, that while the tzaddik's alive, he may daven on behalf of the Rishonim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the tzaddik to daven for the Rishonim, so he takes him away. Says the Gemara, what should a person do? Al yitzar adam imetzibur. A person should have to join in the tzibur when they're b'tzoris. She came to him with Moshe Rabbeinu, as we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. She tzir atzma imetzibur. That he participated with the tzibur. Shnemar, v'day Moshe kvedim. Moshe's hands were heavy, as he was being mispalil when Klai Yisrael was in battle with Amalek. V'yichu evim yisima tachtav. They took a stone that he under and they put it under him. V'yeshvela is the question. V'chilahay le Moshe karachos akasachas. The Moshe better not have a pillow or a blanket to sit on. Leishvela, why did he sit on a stone? Elkachom Moshe. Since Klai Yisrael are b'tzaris, af ani ayem imam b'tzar. I will join with them. So Mefarshim asked an obvious question. In the previous Gemara, this person was not really b'tzar. What is the issue with this person? They didn't join with the tzibur. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu was part of the tzibur. When the Malaikim attacked Klai Yisrael, they attacked everyone. And Moshe Rabbeinu is part of Klai Yisrael. So how could the two conditions be compared? So the Divrei Yecheskel answers that the Medrash says that the only people the Malaikim attacked were the people who were Rishoyim that were not under the cloud, not under the Anana Kovet. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly was under the Anana Kovet. So he personally had nothing to worry about, but still he was Metzar Atzmai Metzibra. Another teretz that I saw is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to go so far as to take a stone to sit on. Fine. He's bitzar. He's the Amalekim attacking. But if he's sitting, he could sit on a chair as easily as he could sit on a stone. Moshe Rabbeinu, out of his own, went the extra mile to take a stone to sit on versus a chair. And the third teretz I saw, very beautiful teretz, is that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klai Yisrael, why did the Amalekim come to attack? Asherof Yudei Mitara, that they weren't acting properly in their avodas Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly was acting properly. So Moshe Rabbeinu's attitude could have been, this macham is not because of me. If everybody would have done what I said, and if everybody would act like me, we would never be in this trouble. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take that attitude. Even though he had told them don't do this, once there was tzoros, he joined together with his brethren Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara further, the Kol Mitzar Atzmayim Tzibur. Whoever does join with the Tzibur, Zoych of Arayv and Nechem Tzibur, he will Zoych to see as Klal Yisrael is comforted. V'shem Yoyim Adam, he may be. Who's going to be able to say what I did? Says the Gemara, Avnei Beisah Shal Adam, the stones of a person's home, the Kairos Beis Shal Adam, the beams, me Edom Boy will be able to offer testimony. Shnemer, as the Pasuk says in Habakkuk, Ki even mikir tizak, the stones of the wall, the kapis me'etz and the wooden beams yanenum. The bear of Shlila Amri, Shnei Malachi Asharis, the two malachim, hamlavim lo'il adam, that escort a person, heim me'idin lov, they will say testimony. Shnei ki malachov yitzav aloch. So I saw a beautiful pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us two malachim. When do those malachim remain with us? If we do what we're supposed to do. If the two malachim leave us, that is the biggest proof that we did the wrong thing. Because if we weren't doing the wrong thing, why did the malachim leave us? Rav Chitkaimer, Nishmasa Shel Adam, Himi Idalav. The person, the Shammu, say Edis. Shnemar, Mishachaves Chaykecha, from the one that's in your lap, that means the neshama in you, Shmar Pischei Picha. Watch what you say. V'yesh Aymrim, Evarav Shel Adam Idem Bay. The person's own limbs will say Edis. Shnemar Atam Edai Num Hashem. They will say what you did with them. As Mufarshim explained, the limbs represent what the person does with his hands. The neshama, Rashi, the Targum says in Parshas Bereishis, the neshama means the ruach memalala, the person's ability to speak. The neshama will speak about pischei picha. It'll be an aid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us on neshama. And we, why did we use that ruach memalala? Why did we use that power of speech? All the Mefarshim explain, as we say every morning, Elkai neshama shenasata bi tahirihi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a neshama which is tahar. If when a person leaves the world, that neshama comes to the olam ha'emes and it's not pure, that's the biggest raya that he wasn't acting properly. Otherwise, his neshama would remain clear. And the malachim will say edus of what a person was thinking. The malachim know what our machshavas are. The pasuk says, "Kel amuna ve'ein ovel." Explains the mark, "Kel amuna k'shem shnefram rishayim al haba." So that's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish the rishayim al haba, afila avera kali, even for the smallest avera shoysin that they did. Kach nefram and tzaddikim ba olam haza. So too the tzaddikim get punished avera kali shoysin. Ve'ein ovel k'shem shmeschal mitzal tzaddikim olam haba. Just like tzaddikim will get tzchar in olam haba, afila mitzah kal shoysim, even for the smallest mitzvah that they ever did. Kach mishal mitzchal rishayim ba olam haza. So too the rishayim get reward in this world. Afilu atzdikim, afilu mitzah kal shoysim, even for the smallest mitzvah. So Mashal says that the question that this Gemara is coming to address is a very fundamental theological question. Why do we see tzaddik v'raloi? That a tzaddik has a bad sometimes, for Rasha v'toivloi, and a Rasha has a good. So what the Gemara is saying is, Rasha v'toivloi is that he gets his schar in this world, he will not have any schar in the other world, and vice versa. And explains the Mashal, what's the raya that that's pshat in the Gemara? Because the Gemara begins, k'shem sh'nefram rishayim l'olam haba. How do we know that they paid the rishayim l'olam haba? Were we ever there to see? So the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is coming to explain, olam haba, the rishayim get their oynish, olam haza, they get the schar. But ask the Mefarshim. The Gemara is explaining here how just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So if the place for Schar is Olam Haba, so Rishayim should get Schar in Olam Haba too. Just because they didn't do a lot of mitzvahs, whatever they did, they should have the Schar in Olam Haba, if that's the place for Schar. So some Mefarshim explain that the mitzvahs that a Rasha does, even when he does a mitzvah, he doesn't really do it perfectly. He does it Shlo Lishma, he does it with never really the way it's supposed to be. So that's why he doesn't deserve a schar in olam haba. Another pshat is, as we see, we follow in halacha always roiv. Since most of what he did were averis, that's why he gets that little schar in this world. And then I saw another teretz. Everybody's schar is according to his perspective. If somebody likes to eat, so schar is giving him a steak dinner. And if somebody likes a nice car, his schar is getting a nice car. The Rishoyim, what is their definition? What's their understanding of schar? Olam Haza. Having a good Olam Haza. So that's why they get their schar in Olam Haza. What's the tzaddik, what does the tzaddik appreciate? Olam Haba. That's why he gets schar in the Olam Haba. Says the Gemara. Tzaddik v'yashahu. B'sha'at, Bishas Pitrosa Shel Adam. when a person leaves this world, lebeis alamai, kol masav nifratin lefanav. Everything he did is spelled out in front of him. They tell him, this is what you did, in this place, on this day. And he says, yes. And they say, sign on it. And he signs. Every person will sign his own fate. He says, you're correct, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yochel. We ourselves will say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the tzaddik, that he's right. The Ramchal explains, what's the Loshen Chasima? So he says, as long as a person is in this world, he has the ability to do tshuva. Once a person leaves the world, he can't do tshuva. So the Chasima, the final seal, is not until you come to the Olam HaEmes, where it's too late to change anything. I saw from the Sefer Einei Yitzchak an interesting pshat. He explains that what happens is, when a person comes to Olam HaEmes, they say, you know, we'd like to mechabed you that you should sit on the Bezdin, Shemala. Fine, he sits on the Bezdin, Shemala. And they say, you know, this and this person did this. What should be his punishment? He says, he did this. Pasuk says he gets this, he gets that. Then they take out the video. And they say, you were the person that did that. That's what says, Yakal Adam Yachtoim. He himself will be his own judge, what he deserves. Says the Gemara. Amishmul, Kalayosha Batinas Nikrachaita. Whoever fasts, when the halacha doesn't say he has to fast, is called a sinner. Says the Gemara, Savakaitan, because Shmuel holds like the following Tana. The Tanya Belazar Kfab Rebbe Oimer. Matam Aloimer, the Pasuk says regarding a Nazar. Vechipa Lob Meshachota La Nefesh. Is the question, Vechipa is a Nefesh Chota, sir. What's the Aveir that the Nazar did? El Shetzir Atzmin Mayayin. The fact that he withheld himself from drinking wine is a neveira. Veloy dvarim kavachoyma. Says the Gemara, let's make the following kavachoyma. This person, the only thing he did was, he didn't drink wine. Nikra chayta, and yet for that alone he's considered a sinner. Hamitzar atzmei called dover v'dover. If somebody withholds himself from all food, alach kamakamah, they're certainly considered a balaveira. Rabbi Lezer Oymer Nikra Kaddish. Rabbi Lezer says, no. The person who fasts is considered holy. Shinamar, the pasuk says regarding the nazir, kaddish yeh gadol pesa roisha. Umazeh shloit tzir atzmei elam davarachet. If the nazir who only withheld himself from grape products, nikra kaddish, is already considered holy. Hamitzar atzmei called davar. If somebody holds him back himself from all food, alachs kamadeh is considered holy. Ask the Gemara, so now how will each other, Mandomer, explain each other's Pasuk? Well, the Shmuel Oikri Kaddish, the Pasuk says that he's considered holy. How are you calling him a sinner? Says the Gemara, Hahu Agil Perakai. That's talking about his here. His here is holy, everything else is not. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer Nikri Chayta, the Pasuk calls him a Balaveira. How are you calling him a Kaddish? Answers the Gemara, Hahu Desav Nafshei. That Pasuk is talking about the Nazar who became Tameh. A Nazar who becomes Tameh is a Balaveira. But a Nazir who follows his Naziris properly tells us the Gemara according to Rabbi Lezer is a Kaddish. Ask the Gemara, Umiyam Rabbi Lezer Hachi, did Rabbi Lezer indeed say that somebody who fasts is considered a Kaddish? Vam Rabbi Lezer, Loilam Yimet Adam Atzmai, a person should always consider himself Kilu Kaddish Shari B'Taych Me'av. So Rashi explains that a person should look at his entire body as it's holy, and he has to treat it with great respect, and not fierce. Taisa seems to say, as if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within us, so we should treat it with respect. So how could Rabbi Lezer say that he should fierce? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Hosea, Bekar Bicha Kaddosh, there's Kaddosh in us, for we'll ever be here. So how could we say Rabbi Lezer says that the person is Kaddosh? Answers the Gemara, Lo Kasha. Hada Matzalot Tzuri Nafshei, Hadalai Matzalot Tzuri Nafshei. If the person could have fast and it really won't affect him, so he should fast. If he can't fast, the person can't withstand the fast, he shouldn't fast. That's the way Rashi explains. Other Mefarshim explain, Hada Matzalot Tzuri Nafshei is if the fast causes the person to do tshuva and realize what we are, then he should fast. Hadalai Matzalot Tzuri Nafshei, if the fast doesn't cause you to take stock and realize who you are And as the Mefarshim suggests, maybe just the opposite. A person, oh, now he considers himself better, holier, that he fasts, he shouldn't fast. But then I saw another pshat from the Imri Emes. The Imri Emes quotes the Rishonim that say that a person should, what should a person do? A person, suda shatan nanaba, a suda that you're enjoying, mishoich yotchi mena. What's a real madrega? A real madrega is while you're in the middle of enjoying a geshmak, a steak, in the middle say, no more. Hahuda matzla tzuri nafshei, somebody who while he's eating, could stop eating, that's a very high madrega. That's the madrega to try to attain. He shouldn't fast. He should eat and stop eating in the middle of the meal. Hahuda loy matzla tzuri nafshei, that's very hard to do, to stop in the middle of the meal and just leave the plate there. He has to fast. Says the Gemara. So way Rashi explains, there's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to explain this Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara this way, that the person who fasts is considered a chassid. Shnamar, as the Pasuk says, Goymol nafshoy ish chassid. A person who does this chassid with his nefesh, that he doesn't eat, is a chassid. V'oichesh eroi, but somebody, so the way Rashi explains, but somebody who can't fast, and just hurts himself, and like the Gemara just said a moment ago, he's a person that's unable to fast. Achsor, he's cruel. Tosfos learns just the opposite. Goymol nafshoy. Somebody who does chesed with his nefesh, and he gives it to eat. Chesed, that's what you're supposed to do. Oichesh eroi. Somebody who withholds eating, achsor is cruel. Amrav sheshes, harbar berei rav. This Talmud in the yeshiva. The Yosef B'taneset that's fasting, Leichel Kalva L'Shirosai, a dog should eat his meal. In other words, a Talmud in Yeshiva should be learning. And fasting takes away your concentration abilities to learn. He shouldn't be fasting. And the Gvura Sari explains that really this Gemara should be after the Gemara that we're going to have soon. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Abba says that Ein Talmud Chochem Reisha Leish B'taneset. What the Gemara is saying is that even somebody else, but a Talmud Chochem shouldn't fast because it affects his learning. And if a Tam Chokham does fast, it's like a dog. A dog should eat his meal. I saw a beautiful pshat from the Chidah. The Chidah says that the Medrash says that when the Mizbeach was standing and Klai Yisrael would bring Kabbanis, how would they know if their Kabban was accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It depended on what form the fire that burnt the Kabban was. If it looked like a lion, it was a simon, it was a proof that the carbon was accepted. If the fire looked like a dog, it's a simon that the carbon was not accepted. So he explains the Gemara like this. Habay berav, the yosbat anaisa. If you see a Talmud, a Talmud Chokhm that has to sit in a fast, you know why? Because lechel kabel shirusay. His eating, shulchan shel adam, our food, our tables are mizbeach. He's not eating the right way. If he were eating the right way, he could attain avodas Hashem through eating, and he wouldn't have to fast. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, ain't tanis sibur b'bavel. We're learning, we will learn be'ezer Hashem the concept of a tanis sibur. There is no tanis sibur in b'bavel, el tusha b'bavad. Why? So Rashi says, Tosfos says, that because, why a chazal goyzer a tanis? Because it's no rain, because of rain, a shortage of rain, and Bavel, there's never a shortage of rain. But the Ramban has a problem with that pshat. He has two problems. Maybe there's no issue of rain in Bavel, but there could be other tzaras. And another kasha is, so in Bavel, there's no problem of rain, but what about everywhere else in Chutz La'aretz, where there can be a drought? So that's why the Ramban says the people in Bavel, and in Chutz La'aretz in general, were very weak. And they couldn't withstand fasting. That's why Chazal said that all the dinim of a tiny seber, which we're going to learn, are very serious and very tough. They can't do in Bavel, and that's why there's no din of Tainas Tzibur. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is that a Tainas Tzibur could only be declared where there's a Bezdin which is Smuchen, that have the real Smicha. And such a Bezdin does not exist in Bavel, and that's why there's no Tainas Tzibur in Bavel. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amar Rish Lakish, Ein Tam Chochem Rishoy Leish B'Tanis, a Tam Chochem may not fast, it causes him not to be able to do his avodas Hashem. While he's fasting, he can't learn well. And as the Pesukim can say, it's not limited to a Talmud Chacham. The halacha applies to any person who's Isaac b'avodas hakodesh, a rebbe in a yeshiva, or somebody works in avodas hakodesh and not fast, unless it's a day that was established as a fast day, because he can't do his job right. There are other paiskim that want to suggest that anyone who's an employee working for an employer is not allowed to fast, because when you're fasting, you can't do your job properly. It's a question of ganeiv. As we leave the sugya, the Gemara is somewhat confusing. On one hand, we see the fasting is good. On the other hand, the Gemara says fasting is not good. Tosfos himself in Amud Aleph asked that Shmuel says that the person who fasts is nikra chayta, and in other places Shmuel says that it is perhaps worthy to fast. So how do we explain this Gemara? So perhaps a vart that I saw really explains all of this. The Mefarshim asked, the Gemara began the sugya, kol ha-yoshe b'tanis nikra chayta. So the Mefarshim asked, why is it kol ha-yoshe b'tanis? Sitting? Is a fast related to sitting? Kol ha-masana, whoever fasts. The Farshim says, "Kol ha-yoshev atayinus." If somebody fasts and yoshev, it doesn't affect him. He stays where he is. Then he's a chayta. What a person should look at is how will the fast affect him? If he will not be a yoshev, if he'll grow and avoid the Hashem from fasting, he should fast. But if he'll be a yoshev, he'll stay in the same madrega, he should not fast. The Gra says that if a person wants to fast, instead of not eating, he should make a tiny stever. He should better not talk what he's not supposed to talk. Or the Shlosh says he should be Maisav Avodas Hashem. The Shas of Chuvas B'Tzela Chachma, based on our Gemara, says, here we see how the Gemara is careful that a person shouldn't put himself in pain. From here he says that we see that the Din of Tzar Bal Chayim doesn't only apply to animals, it applies to people also. And in fact, I saw interesting Chuvah from Ramosha. Somebody asked Rav Moshe, is a person allowed to go on a diet? When a person's on a diet, he's bitzar. Can't eat what he wants to eat. So Rav Moshe says, certainly if somebody's going on a diet because it's for medical purposes, then he should fast. He should follow the diet. He says, what about a person's only going on a diet because they want to look better? So he says, this is the way Rav Moshe says it. He says, every person wants to look good. So he says, if a person is going on a diet because he wants to look good, so even though there's a certain amount of tsar involved, it's mutter, because the benefit of looking good outweighs the tsar that he has by not eating. But if, on the other hand, says Rav Moshe, he's going to go on a starvation diet, that's not mutter unless it's required medically. Says the Gemara. Oichel m'sheis m'shech sheicha, the Mishnah discussed what the halachos are on a fast day. Am Rav Zeira, am Rav Huna. Yochid shekibol of tainus. If a yochid was mekabel tainus, that means a person says today, we'll discuss in the future shiurim, by kabbalas of tainus. He says today by mincha that I'm going to tomorrow be a fast day. The halacha is afil ochid v'shasu kol alayla. Even if tonight the whole night he's eating, the machu mispal tefilas tainus. The next day is that he could say a name, and as Tosfos explains, really a name should be said already by shachris. It's a fast day. Tosfos says the reason we don't say Aneinu by Shachris is because perhaps we're going to start the day saying Aneinu and we won't be able to make it through the day. So we said Aneinu b'yom tzayim tanaseinu and ends up not being a fast day. That's why we only say Aneinu b'mincha. But Tosfos says the Shlich Tzibur does say Aneinu b'Shachris because that's the way he's announcing to everyone to remember that today is a fast day. So here halacha is, you're allowed to eat the entire night and the next day is a fast day. So I saw a very interesting shaila Rav Moshe discussed, as many other poskim discuss. Are you allowed to make a wedding on the night of a fast day? In other words, if tomorrow is a fast day, so tonight the Gemara says you're allowed to eat, are you even allowed to make a wedding? So Rav Moshe wants to suggest that perhaps it's based on a machlokes rishonim. He says, it's a machlokes rishonim, what is pshat? Is pshat that the fast day really begins at night, but Chazal said you could eat till the morning? Or is pshat that the fast day really doesn't begin until the next day? So Rav Moshe wants to be mekel. He says, even by Shavuos Batamas, you could have a wedding the night of Shavuos Batamas. But I saw from the Eshel Avram, and I saw from the Meyadim Bezmanim, that they say that certainly on Shavuos Batamas, even though the fast doesn't begin till the next morning, the 3 weeks, the Avelis, already begin at night. By Asar B'Tavis, the Paiskim are more makel that the night of Asar B'Tavis that you're allowed to eat, you could also make a wedding. Says the Gemara further, Lomba Tanaisa, if somebody fasted all day today, and tonight he continues his fast, in the morning when he damned Shacharis, Einim Spalashal Tainis, he doesn't say a name. Amar Rav Yosef, Maikos of Rav Huna. What is the basis for this psak? Is it Sphir Le Eimasan and Lashos, that since he's going to eat today, so it's not a full day fast, so that's not considered a fast day, and that's why he doesn't say Aninu? Or perhaps he holds Masan and Lashos. Maybe he holds that a Tainus Shos is considered a Tainus. However, if a Masan and Lashos, Amos Baal feels Tainus. Aninu is not set on a Tainus Shos. Omle Abai, so Abai explains, Loyalim Kasavar Avunim Masan and Lashos. Tainus Shos, even a Tainus for part of a day, is considered a Tainus. Furthermore, from the Sanim Lashars, Mispalt feels Tanis. There's a lot of say in Nainu. Vashani Hocha, however, here there's a difference. Dikas Shars to Laila, there are Shah the night to La Kivala Mekara. So the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara is, this person began the Tanis Shars as a continuation of his first day. So he never had a Kabbalah's Tainis for this time. A Tainis is never considered a Tainis unless there was a Kabbalah's Tainis. Since there was no Kabbalah's Tainus, that's why it's not considered a Tainus that you should say a Neinu. Says the Gemara, Marukva Iklul Ginsik. Marukva came to the city called Ginsik. By my name, Sanam Shos or Amasan Shos. Is there such a thing as a Tainus Shos or not? Lahav Biyodeh. He didn't know the answer. Furthermore, he asked, Can Kanim Shonachrim, the barrels by the Goyim that they use for the wine, Asurim Matarim, may they be used to store kosher wine? Again, we have the other. He didn't know the answer. Next question. We know during the first 7 days of the inauguration of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu did all the Avodah. So the question is, what begodim, what big day did the Moshe Rabbeinu wear those days? Again, we have the other. He didn't know the answer. Also, Vashabe Midrash, so he went and asked in the yeshiva. So they told him, Hilchos Halacha is Masanim L'Shos, that a Tainus Shos, a Tani even for part of the day, is considered a Tainus, and therefore Mispalim feels Tainus, he could say a name. Hilchos HaKakarim Shonachrim, the barrels of a goy, Lachashnei Masa Chodesh, after 12 months, Mutarim may be used. So the Paiskim say, we count the 12 months a Jewish year, one pshat. Another thing that I saw is that after the 12 months, Mili v'irui should be done. That means you should fill up the kalim with water for 3 days, every day changing the water. And then you could use even a keli that was used for non-kosher. And this is the base that Chacham Tzvi says, famous Tshuvat Chacham Tzvi, that let's say somebody had a keli, and I'm not paskening here, everybody should ask their own Rav, that a keli that they cooked chametz in, and now they want to use it for Pesach. So he says that don't use it for a year, then do Mili v'irui, and you could use it. Others and say that Chacham Tzvi was even referring to a keli that was used to accidentally cook non-kosher, and it's a keli that can't be kashered, a kli cheres. Others say that the Chacham Tzvi's raya from this gemara, the Panamir says this, is not a good raya. Because here we're talking about the keli was only used cold to store wine, but a keli that was used to cook something like chametz or not kosher cannot be kashered this way. And the last question, which begotten the Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the Zayin Yimei Meluim? B'chalak Lovin. He wore a white robe. Says the Gemara of Kahana Masni, B'chalak Lovin, a white robe, Shein Le'imra, that it has no hem. So the way Rashi explains what's pshat that it had no hem, Klai Yisrael, the Pasuk says, V'yisim Nekim Hashem Yisrael, a person has to be above any suspicion. Klai Yisrael would see Moshe Rabbeinu walk into the Mishkan. If he had a hem on his robe, they would perhaps accuse him that into the hem he stole, he put coins or other thing else. So that's why he had no hem. The Farshim are disturbed with this pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu, they're going to accuse of that. So some say, Ein Lo Imra is as follows. If a person has a beged, has a garment that he's going to wear, so he may make a hem. But if a person is just going to use a garment for a very short time, there's no point to make a hem. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to be a kohen. It's only for these 7 days. So he didn't pay to make a hem. He's not going to remain with these begadim anyway. And a third pshat that I saw is like this. Emay Imra means there was no wool. We learned many times, Masechta Yuma, we discussed this, that the big day kahuna was shatness. They had wool and linen. A kohen, the Torah allows to wear big day kahuna to shatness. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really a kohen. He didn't have the heter that his begadim may have shatness. So Enlai Imra was purely made out of linen with no wool included.